Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Mulligans podcast with your host, Jackson Dibble and Todd McGill.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Hey, hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Jackson Dibble.
I'm Todd McGill.
Welcome to the Morning Mulligans podcast. This is the Wednesday Wagers. Usually we have a Tuesday's picks for you all, but due to some certain circumstances, and with this week just being a team event and everything else being kind of crazy, we couldn't do Tuesday's picks this week, but we have Wednesday Wagers for you all. So generally in Tuesday's picks, we start off with a recap, and then we jump into everything. So we're actually going to take that and move it over to Wednesday. So we're going to talk about a recap from this past week. We had a really good week. There's a couple of things to talk about, including how well we did. But, of course, Stuart Sink won.
Yep.
That was exciting to see. Just looks like a nice guy. His family looks like they're nice people.
Yeah, very godly.
It looks like you want to sit down with him and he can tell you stories all day. But there's a little bit of drama in one part. Well, one, we'll start off with Siwoo Kim first. With the USGA. Now, you have a little more insight about that.
Yeah, so one of his rounds, he was playing with Matt Kuchar, and he hit either a putt or a chip, and the ball, like, hangs on the hole for a good probably 30 seconds before it actually falls in.
Right.
And he was going up to tap it in, and Matt Kuchar told him to wait because he thought the ball was moving, but it just took forever for the ball to go in the hole, and it ended up pretty much turning into – I mean, even though it fell in the hole, he actually didn't get to count that as the previous stroke. They counted it as a par.
Yeah.
So he didn't get to make his birdie there, which that was a very weird ruling.
I don't think that's fair. The USGA, they were really bad two weeks ago at the Masters with answers call.
Yeah.
They were dogging on some people. They're not playing fast enough, which on the PGA tour, they definitely don't play fast enough by any means, but still, it's a lot different lines than just your everyday golf like I play.
Right.
USGA, I think they need to tighten up a little bit, but I'm not one.
Or tighten down?
Yeah, tighten down.
Pretty tight wads right now.
Yeah, I'm no one to say, but there's my 2 cents. Now, there's also a little bit of drama involving one of golf's greatest, the Black Knight Gary Player and his family.
Yep.
So tell us what happened.
So back during the Masters, at the ceremonial first tee shot with Lee Elder and Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus, if you've probably seen it by now, we're kind of late covering it. It kind of came out right as we released last week's episodes.
Right.
And if you watch the ceremonial tee shot or the opening tee shot, when they're introducing Lee Elder, one of Gary Player's son, I guess, was his, like, acting caddy for that, is standing, like, directly behind Lee and is showing a box of golf ball, Encore Golf.
Yeah.
Which is the ball that Gary Player, I don't know if he owns or just uses. But anyway, apparently it really offended people at Augusta National, so much so that they banned him from the grounds and from the Masters tournament.
Yeah. That's pretty intense. I mean, obviously Augusta National is like the strictest place you can think of, but that's still pretty intense, especially as Gary Player's kid.
Right.
It's pretty intense. It's known as what his son did is known as guerrilla marketing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different definitions of it, but it's pretty much him just putting himself into a spot where like, he knows that he can show it off. Like if I were to be in a commercial and I wore my company's like hat on, which I'm not supposed to do that. So that's guerrilla marketing. But it's... I don't know. I feel like banning is a little extreme.
It's a little harsh.
But it is what it is, I guess. But apparently Gary Player's sons are – they're kind of always in trouble, it seems like.
Well, yeah, at least this one is. Apparently he's got a few more controversies a couple years prior.
Yeah. Well, anything else about news-wise?
Not really.
All right. So, like I said, we had a really good week last week, and not many of you listened in, which I'm a little offended, but I understand.
You should have won some money.
Yeah, you really should have, because we had 7 of the top 10 guys in our lineup this week. We made a good chunk of money last week. I'll give you guys a really quick rundown of what we had. Matthew Fitzpatrick tied fourth. Corey Connors tied fourth. Colin Morikawa tied seventh. Chris Kirk tied seventh. Shane Lowry ninth. Cam Smith ninth. And Webb Simpson ninth. So seven of the top 10 guys we had and we called for. And that's not it, what we're including also. We also had Brian Harman 13th, Daniel Berger 13th, Charlie Hoffman 18th, Abraham Ancer 18th. And we had some other guys in the 40s, but we had a really good week last week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is phenomenal, I would say.
Yeah, the only thing we were missing was the top three guys. And, I mean, Stuart Sink, I mean, that's so hard to predict.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Emiliano Grillo, you know, in the matchups episode, I kind of talked about him a little bit and thought that this was a place that he could play, but I wasn't very high on
second.
Him. No. And Harold Varner is just so streaky, you just never would have.
Yeah. I like Harold Varner, but my God, he's streaky. Yeah, I had a team this week on DraftKings where I had four guys in the top 10, one that was tied 13th, Brian Harman. My other four guys were in the top 10, and then I just had one guy missed a cut. Freaking JT Poston killed me. That could have been the lineup.
Yeah.
It could have been. If I would have just moved a couple things around, I mean, that could have been the first place 50 grand lineup. But it's fun to hope and dream, but we'll get there one day. But, so again, coming off another great week. That's 3 weeks in a row for us. We're sorry we can't provide you all with a Tuesday's picks episode this week. A lot of things came up and everything. So, but we're still doing Wednesday wagers. We're going to do our normal format now. So at Wednesday wagers, we go through added players, withdrawn players, the weather, our outright winner bets, top 5 through 40 placement bets, and then we talk about matchups. And Todd and I compete every week in matchups, and we decide a winner at the end of the month. So that being said, added and withdrawn players, there are none.
Right.
So it makes my part real easy. So weatherman Todd, take it away.
Weather's looking a little dicey.
Yes, it is.
Thursday and Sunday look, you know, pretty good. Wind 10 to 15. Highs on Thursdays in the low 70s. Friday and Saturday, there's a chance of rain both days. Wind's going to pick up a little bit. And, I mean, I'm pretty sure we've seen at this tournament before that it's got called, like, within 54 holes. Like, this tournament is known to have crappy weather.
Yeah.
Or it has in the past, at least.
Well, down in Louisiana, weather is very unpredictable.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, it's going to be an interesting week. And that's why I'm even more excited to talk about my outright winner here, which I'm pumped. I got some big money down this week.
I don't have any.
Yeah, so
I'm just not very interested. I mean, I'm interested in watching. I just didn't like the odds at all.
That's fair, yeah. Todd's just going to agree with what I'm saying with these. So I'm going to steal the show for a hot minute here.
Maybe you can sway me to put some money on some of these guys.
Okay, so I'll sway you. I have one outright winner because I feel like these guys are just – they're going to kill it. And it's my two favorite golfers on tour, Mark Leishman and Cameron Smith. Yesterday their odds were plus 900. Now they're up to plus 1,000. Odds are going up, which I don't understand why. Cam Smith – this is Bermuda Tiff Eagle Greens this week. Cam Smith is absolutely destroying golf courses with Bermuda Tiff Eagle.
Yeah.
He also has that in his own backyard, so that is probably a good reason why. But his iron game is just unbelievable. Cam Smith is having a fantastic season. He also is on Australia. The weather, I mean, it's usually pretty windy there.
Yeah.
And it's going to be raining. He knows how to play in the rain. I'm very confident in Cam Smith, but that being said, Mark Leishman, also an Aussie. He is used to the wind. He plays well in it. We saw at the Masters that the course is going to be – it's probably going to end up being a little more firm the first day, maybe on Sunday as well. Mark Leishman knows how to tear it up when it's firm.
Mm-hmm.
So I think these two are going to be – they're going to be used to the wind, used to the weather. They're really good friends as far as I know. I want to 100% easily see these guys winning this week.
Well, Cam Smith won in 2017 with Jonas Blixt.
Yeah.
Which,
I was back when Cam Smith
was the last time you heard of Jonas Blixt?
Yeah. That's I could really – that's the thing. Cam Smith's coming to experience. Leishman's played here a few times as well. But, yeah, I really do see these guys winning this week. And plus 1,000, 100 bucks, it wins you $1,000 this week. So
– you putting that much down?
I'm not saying. but, yeah, so Cam Smith and Leishman is my definite pick. There's a lot of other guys this week. A lot of people have been talking about Xander and Cantlay. I think that's a terrible team, personally.
Yeah,
think,
neither guys are really playing all that great.
Yeah, Xander's playing. He's playing well, but not fantastic. Cantlay's missed the last four cuts. I don't think that's good. Surprisingly, I've been on Twitter some today. A lot of people are talking about Colin Morikawa and Wolf. I don't know why you're talking about them. Yeah, I can eat my own words. I mean, Colin Morikawa won the WGC, which is on Bermuda Tiff Eagle Greens. But Matthew Wolf has WD'd out of every – or DQ'd out of every tournament he's been in, it seems like. He's playing terrible. I don't know. I just really feel like Leishman and Cam are going to win this. And plus 1,000 odds, that's enough for me to put money down on it. So there's my convince for you.
All right.
So I made a lineup this week, and everyone that I'm talking about, including this team I just talked about, Leishman and Cam, are on my lineup. So if that's what you want to make a lineup, this will – quote unquote, give you one, I guess. So I'm doing four top tens this week and one top five. One of my top tens is Martin Laird and Nick Taylor. They are plus 500 for top 10. Interesting, I know.
Yeah.
They have good course history here. They played together last time, and I can't exactly remember where they finished. I know it was within the top 15. But
finished tied ninth.
There you go. And Martin Laird, the year before, also played very well. Martin Laird has a lot of good experience here, and they've played together. Nick Taylor is not necessarily having the greatest season, but Martin Laird's playing pretty well, and he has good course history here. So I could see a top 10 out of these two, plus 500. I want to move on to another team. Harold Varner and Brennan Grace, top five.
Wow.
450. I think Harold Varner is a very streaky golfer, but just judging from his season so far, he plays well on Bermuda Tiff Eagle grass. So I feel like he's also going to play well here. He's coming off a second place. I don't feel like it's a bad option. Obviously, it's probably a little scary, but give you some insight. Honda Classic, every course I'm about to list, it was Bermuda Tiff Eagle where Harold Varner played. Honda Classic, he was 19th. Arnold Palmer, he was 21st. Waste Management, he was 13th. Players, he was 61st. He made the cut. That's about it. But also RBC, second. So Harold Varner is playing well on those greens. Brennan Grace is having a good season. He's won this season.
Mm-hmm.
Won so
Puerto Rico.
Yeah. So I feel like that's a good team. Top five, plus 450. I feel like 450 is a little low for top five, but
yeah,
we're going to take it. I'll keep moving on. Again, all these guys are in a lineup for me this week. Next up is Tringale and Castro is his last name.
Roberto?
Yep. Don't know too much about Castro, but I just know that Tringale has good course history here, and he is also playing good on Bermuda Tiff Eagle Greens. Tringale was 13th in the Honda Classic, 31st in the Arnold Palmer, and 17th at the Waste Management. He missed a cut at the Players, but that's also the Players. Very difficult place. I think top 10 is the absolute best these guys will get. That's why I'm pulling for it. And they are plus 450 at top 10, which is kind of surprising as well. But, again, we're rolling with it.
I mean, looking at the 2019 leaderboard, I don't know who Castro played with in 2019, but he's got a tied fifth.
Yeah.
And he's up there with Tringale, so maybe they played together in 2019, too.
So we're pulling for it. So I got them at top 10 plus 450. Next up, I'm going to move up. Another top 10 bet is Richie Rawinski and Patrick Uihlein. It's bold.
Yeah, I'm shaking my head. I'm like, where are you pulling these guys from?
Yeah, so it took me a long time to kind of look into these things today, but let's talk Rawinski for a minute.
Okay.
He's not playing amazing, but the best finishes that he has this season are all Bermuda Tiff Eagle Greens. He has not had good finishes this season besides two finishes. Well, if you count the American Express and Century Open kind of well, I guess. But his two best finishes he's had this season was at the Waste Management, tied 22nd, which is Bermuda Tiff Eagle, and the Arnold Palmer Invitational, which is Bermuda Tiff Eagle, and it was fourth. So his best finishes are on these types of greens. He's not playing the greatest currently, but, again, we're going to pull for it. That being said, Uihlein. I said Patrick earlier. I always call him Patrick. It's Peter. He just looks like a Patrick. But there's not too much justification on why I'm picking him, except for one thing. He won last week on the Korn Ferry Tour.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he finished first.
So he's in good form.
Yeah, MGM Resorts Championship at a word. I don't know how to say that. But, yeah, he won last week. So he's obviously playing well. I could see I feel like top 10 is probably their absolute best because these two are probably just – they're going to have to really duke it out to get to that point. But, again, Uline's in good shape. Rowinski plays good on these types of greens. So we're going to roll with it. Again, you got to get kind of risky this week. It's a weird week.
Oh, yeah, very weird.
But, yeah, that Jurinski top 10 is plus 650. So that's much better odds.
Yeah.
All right, so my last top 10 bet for the week is a local boy, Scott Stallings, which I have not played him in the lineup in a hot minute. But
for good reason.
Yeah. He's kind of missing cuts, but hopefully he doesn't listen to this right now. Scott has some course history here. He tied 13th last time he played here.
Who's he playing with?
He's playing with Brendan Garnett.
Bryce Garnett.
Brendan.
Oh, Brendan?
Brendan. Okay. I looked at this earlier. Maybe it is Bryce. I love messing up people's names, so you're probably talking the wrong guy. It is Bryce.
Okay.
Okay, so anyway. Everybody who listens to this is like, yeah, I'm definitely going to take Jackson's bets. You can't even freaking get the guys' names right. But anyway. Ignore me talking about that. So Scott Stallings has course history. He's just really cheap this week. So if you want to put him in a lineup, it's a good move. Stallings has a tied 13th here last time he played. And Bryce Garnett has a tied 4th here in 2018, I believe.
Yep.
So both have good course history here. They're both playing mediocre. Maybe the mediocreness combined together can form a good team. That's really all I'm pulling for there. They're plus 650 for a top 10. It's kind of bold. I feel like Stallings is kind of a dark horse this week, but who knows? We'll see. Apparently, Brendan, Bryce, whatever you want to call him, he should play well. So just ignore me not knowing people's names all the time. I know the stats, but I don't know the names. So, but the stats is what matters. So
exactly.
You can trust me on my bets. But, yeah, so those are my bets for the week. Again, I'm huge on Leishman and Cam Smith. So that's it for me. That was a lot.
Yeah.
So we're going to move to matchups. Todd and I compete against each other in matchups every week. We have one more week of April matchups, and Todd has absolutely kicked my butt every single week. And I beat him this week. I beat him in the RBC, but I only beat him by one. So
didn't make up a whole lot of ground.
No. I won 4-3, which the past 2 weeks, one of the weeks Todd swept me, and then the next week I only won one. So 4-3 was a massive improvement for me. But so that being said, my record is now 5-12. Todd's record is 12-5. So
we're going to have to disagree on pretty much every matchup for you to have a chance, I think.
We have a shot we have a shot next week. Next week's still April tournament. Well, that's right. April/May, so we'll count it for both. Who knows? But, yeah, I got some ground to make up. I'm down 7, so this is it's getting a little dicey. That being said, there's not that many matchups this week.
No, slim pickings.
Yeah, I think it's about 15 or so this week. So you got yours pulled up over there?
Yeah.
All right, so go ahead and give us the first matchup for the week.
So this first matchup, we got your outright bet favorite, Cam Smith and Mark Leishman, going up against Morikawa and Matthew Wolf.
Yeah,
Smith and Leishman are minus 126. Morikawa and Wolf are minus 102.
That's an easy pick for me.
Yeah,
that's
an easy pick for me, too. I mean,
it's just, no.
I don't think Morikawa's back is strong enough to carry Wolf around this whole tournament.
I don't think anybody's back to good enough to do that. Wolf sucks. They're going to win this tournament now. But, no, again, we use FanDuel Sportsbook for everything that we're going to be talking about throughout the rest of this segment, in case you are wondering. You can just go to golf on FanDuel Sportsbook and scroll over to match betting, and you'll see everything that we're talking about. So we're agreeing on Leishman, obviously.
Yeah.
Wolf, trash. Morikawa, you can't carry him the whole way. They'll probably win. But, anyway. Next up is Max Homa with the Gooch Man versus Louis Oosthuizen and Schwartzel.
We may disagree on this one.
What are you taking?
I'm going to take Oosthuizen and Schwartzel.
Why?
Because Schwartzel's not having a terrible year. I mean, he definitely is nowhere near where he was whenever he won the Masters.
No.
But Oosthuizen can pop up at any moment, and they do have a third here in 2018.
That's fair. That's fine. Well, I'm taking Max Homa and the Gooch Man. I feel like Gooch Man's having a pretty good season. Max Homa is obviously having the best season he's had. I'm pretty confident.
Yeah, they're just I mean, they could play well. They're kind of unproven, and you know, none of them's played in Ryder Cups or President Cup teams or anything like that. So
that's true. This is be a very bold test.
Yeah,
I love Louis. I think he can really do well, but it's the Schwartzel part that makes me nervous.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so I'm taking home. So that's one disagreement. We need more.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. You got the next one.
Got Keegan Bradley and Brendan Steele at minus 108 going up against Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson at minus 118.
Oh, jeez.
I'm going to go – even with the win, I'm going to go with Keegan Bradley and Brendan Steele.
Tell me why exactly.
Because I don't think – just exactly what we said for Morikawa and Wolf, I don't think – Rose has already got a bad back as it is.
That's true.
He's not going to be able to carry Stenson around.
And what? Yeah, whatever happened to that guy? He just left.
He fell off face of the earth.
Yeah. Honestly, I really hate to say it. I would definitely root for Rose and Stenson. I wouldn't mind seeing Rose and Stenson winning. But I don't know. Keegan Bradley is so up in the air. He's so up and down. Brendan Steele is playing pretty well this season.
Long golf course for him.
Yeah. But Rose and Stenson, they're a couple old guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They could. Rose and Stenson could light it up, though. Both their knowledge combined like that.
Especially if the weather gets a little dicey.
Yeah, that's it. We did see Rose light it up at the Masters when the weather was at its worst.
Yeah.
I'm taking Rose.
You going to go with him?
Yeah. I need some disagreements this week. It's pretty much make or break at this point.
Right.
Okay. Wow. So, yeah, gee, I don't know. Yeah, if the weather gets dicey, Bradley might start spraying it.
Yeah.
And Steele, he's also old. Huh. That's going to be an interesting one. All right, so we'll keep this moving. Billy Horschel, Billy Ho-Ho. With Sam Burns, or Sam Buns, whatever you want to call him, with Chris Kirk and Brendan Todd. This is an easy one for me.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Horschel and Buns.
What? What?
Oh, really? You're going to go with...
You're taking Horschel and Buns over Kirk and Todd?
Yeah.
Wow, disagreement again.
Yeah, I mean,
well, this is gonna be
Sam Burns is not playing very well, but Billy Horschel has a win in the team event in 2018 with Scott Piercy. And he's also won this event when it was a solo event.
So he plays well here.
Yeah, he really likes this golf course, and he's played pretty well the last couple months.
Chris Kirk's played really well.
He has.
Sam Buns played terrible.
I'm not sure.
If they can pick Sam Buns' drive every time, they'll be fine.
I'm not really sure who's the worst player between Burns and Todd right now.
Burns and Todd, I would say probably. I would have more faith in Burns popping off than Todd popping off.
Because Burns was playing so well in, like, February.
It's true.
Until the whole collapse at the Genesis.
True.
We haven't really seen much of Brendan Todd since 2020.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, Burns is coming off his – he finally made a cut, which was last week at the RBC. He finished 39th.
That's not bad.
Yeah, which before that, it was 3 missed cuts in a row.
Yeah.
Which, that's bad.
Yeah.
Brendan Todd, though, he hasn't missed a cut in a hot minute. He hasn't missed a cut since the Genesis.
Just steady Eddie.
And before the Genesis, he didn't miss a cut till the Masters. He hadn't missed a cut since the Masters of November.
Mm.
So, Brendan Todd's a cut maker.
Yeah, for sure.
But this is not the place where we need cut makers. We need guys that'll pop up. I don't know. I think I'm going to roll with it. I don't know. That kind of scares me. Billy Horschel, he obviously has really good history here. I mean, he's won twice, mm-hmm. technically.
Yeah.
He's not having the greatest year, though, to be honest.
No, I mean, he definitely cooled off after, I think it was the WGC. He was hanging around the lead.
Again, if Sam Bunsey will just listen to Billy Horschel, then they could get it done.
I mean, Billy Horschel's already got it done with Scott Piercy, and I definitely think Sam Burns is a better golfer than Scott Piercy.
Mm. Okay, we're gonna skip this one for now. I'm gonna debate on it as we go. It's written down that we're disagreeing, but I might change my mind by the end of this.
Okay.
All right, so let's keep it on moving. Oh boy.
Is it me?
No, it's me.
Okay.
Well, maybe it's you, but I'm gonna take it.
Okay.
It's Charlie Hoffman and Nick Watney. There's Alex Noren and Henrik Norlander. Who do you got? Gonna have to take Charlie.
Yeah, the Alex Noren and Henrik Norlander is just
Noren's playing pretty well this season, but Henrik Norlander has not done a thing since the Farmers Insurance Open. And Nick Watney's, I mean, he's obviously up and down, but Charlie Hoffman, he's coming off a good week.
Yeah, he is. He's been playing very solid golf. Yeah.
I think Charlie Hoffman for sure. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll probably go with Hoffman. Okay. And Watney also.
All right, take the next one.
Got Roberto Castro and Cameron Tringali minus 126 up against Graham McDowell and Matt Wallace at minus 102.
Matt Wallace is playing really great.
He is playing really good.
He's going to have to carry McDowell. McDowell is a little short hitter. He don't hit it very far.
No.
But Tringali's got some good history here, and so is Castro.
Yeah, and I think that's enough for me to go with him.
I'm taking them as well. I think that's justified there. Matt Wallace is having a great year, but Tringali and Castro are both great history here.
I mean, G-Max got a T18 in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's got a little bit of course history, but
not enough.
Got T22nd in 2018.
Not enough.
I'm kind of looking this up as we go, but I don't know, man. I think G-Max just too past his prime.
Yeah, I'm taking Tringali on that one.
Yeah.
All right, you got the next one because I took two in a row from you.
All right, we got Jason Kokrak and Pat Perez at minus 102 up against Sung J.M. and Byung-Hun An at minus 126.
Yeah, I know who I'm picking.
You going with the Koreans?
Yeah. Perez is – he's like – I mean, I hate to say it, but he's – I mean, no, I'm not going to put it like that. It's just mean. Perez is not worth it. We'll put it that way. Kokrak's having a fantastic season. He also rips the ball.
Yeah, but he hits it a long way.
Byung-Hun An not playing great at all. Like Sun J-M is playing well. I think they'll be able to combine for a decent team. I won't be rude, but
Perez does have a second here in 2018 with Jason Duffner.
Why is he 50 pounds less in 2018 probably?
Dang.
So was I. When I'm 50 pounds less now. What do you got?
I'm going to go with Kokrak and Perez.
Oh, my God.
I mean, we haven't seen Perez, so I don't really exactly know how he's playing, but Kokrak's playing solid, and you're going up with Sung J.M., who can't putt, and Byung-Hun An, who can't putt.
You think Perez can putt? Perez can probably putt. He doesn't move much, so he probably just putts.
And Kokrak's he's a pretty good putter on Bermuda greens.
Oh, maybe you're right, and you probably are, so I'm just going to eat the April of matchup bets. All right, next up, we got Danny Willett and Tyrell Hatton versus Brendan Grace and Harold Varner. I'm taking Harold Varner.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Brendan Grace and Varner also.
They're also the underdog here, plus 104.
That's kind of crazy. I may bet that one, actually.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking that.
I just don't feel like – I feel like this golf course is too long for Willett and Hatton.
Yeah, it probably is, but you're right. All right, you got the next one.
We got Thomas Peters and Lewis.
Lewis.
Is it Tom Lewis?
Don't ask me. You're asking the wrong guy.
All we can see is the last name, so I'm a little confused on that one. Minus 118 up against, I'm assuming it may be Wyndham Clark and Eric Van Ruijen.
Yep, that's right.
Minus 108.
I know who I'm taking.
I'm going to go with Wyndham. Wyndham Clark and Van Ruijen.
They're both having pretty good seasons. The two guys above are very mediocre right now. Peters has absolutely just fallen off the edge of the earth.
Yeah, he was a force to be reckoned with a couple of years ago, but he's kind of cooled off.
Yeah, Wyndham Clark and Eric Van Ruijen both having good years.
I definitely think this is a place where Wyndham Clark can bomb and gouge it too.
You're probably right. Yeah, I agree. All right, so next up versus Victor Hovland and Ventura, and then Fratelli versus Streelman. With Streelman, sorry. It's funny, Hovland and Ventura, they actually played together in junior golf.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's pictures of them circling on Twitter right now. You're talking about course chemistry, and then it's them played together in junior golf.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and on that note, I'm actually going to take Hovland and Ventura as well. Ventura is playing
absolutely terrible this year, but I think Hovland will do enough in order for him to put his 2 cents in.
And maybe his good attitude will rub off on
Ventura
a little bit.
They'll just keep
smiling back and forth at each other and
keep smiling and
make the cut.
Smoking whatever Hovland's smoking. I see we filmed these the day before, so today's 4:20. I wonder if Hovland celebrates 4:20. That's a good question.
I know Matt Every is.
Yeah, he definitely.
Anybody remembers who Matt Every is?
He's definitely
token.
Token. All right, who do you got?
I'll go with Hovland and Ventura.
It's all right. Yeah, I think that's fair. Fratelli's not having the greatest year, and Streelman's actually playing fantastic this year, but I don't think it's going to be enough.
No.
All right, you got the next one.
Got Russell Knox and Brian Stewart, I think. -142.
It's really annoying when you can't see the first name.
Yeah. Up against, I'm assuming, Michael Thompson and Will Gordon.
Yep.
Is what I'm assuming.
I think your assumption is right.
Knox and Stewart are -142. Thompson and Gordon are +112.
Knox actually has surprisingly good course history here.
Yeah, he does.
Which is very weird because he is not a long hitter by any means.
No.
Very short hitter. But Thompson and Gordon actually are not playing that bad this season.
Yeah, Michael Thompson's pretty solid. I mean, he's constantly making cuts.
I think I'm going to take Thompson and Gordon. They're the underdog in that group. Stewart also doesn't have bad course here either, but I don't know. I'm going to take Thompson on this one. What do you think? He's debating. Debating hard.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Thompson played here in 2017 and finished tied 14th.
A hot minute. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. And I don't know who he played with either. He may have got carried.
He's going to do the carrying this time.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'll go with Thompson and Gordon.
All right. There you go. All right. Next up, let's see. Is it me?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Tony Finau and Cameron Champ versus Bubba Watson and Scottie Scheffler. Oof. I don't know. Tony Finau and Cameron Champ, the bombers right now. Bubba Watson can bomb it. Scottie Scheffler is having a pretty decent season. Bubba Watson not having a good season.
No, but he loves his golf course.
Cameron Champ, Tony Finau had a run of 3 seconds in a row, then kind of fell off the earth. But then Cameron Champ, he's starting to find his stride a little bit within his last two tournaments.
Yeah, played pretty solid at the Masters.
When I say stride, I mean like top 30. But
yeah.
Who do you got?
I'm going to probably go with Watson and Scheffler.
I kind of want to agree with you.
Just because basically, I mean, Bubba Watson loves this golf tournament. He loves this course. He's got a win here when it was a stroke play event. He finished tied fifth in 2017 when it first changed over to a team event.
I just feel like Bubba is his – and it sounds bad of me to say, but I feel like he's limited to what he can do now. I don't know why. Maybe it's because when he came out about him being like he doesn't like the fame and everything like that.
Yeah.
That messed him up. I feel like Bubba is limited with his golf game. He can still do whatever he wants to, but I feel like he's really only going to play well in the courses that he's played well at before.
Right.
That's what I mean by limited.
Well, there's just certain golf courses that fit his eye.
Yeah.
I mean, because the way he shapes the golf ball and stuff, that not every golf course is going to suit his game.
No.
But he's made the cut here the last 3 years.
I think I'm going to agree with you. I like Bubba and Scotty this week. I could potentially even see them as a top 10 bet.
Yeah.
Finau and Champ, I'm sure they'll make the cut, but I don't know. Finau's kind of dropped off the earth, and he is Mr. Chokenstein, it seems like.
Yeah.
And Cameron Champ, he could find his stride, keep his stride going, or he could just play absolutely terrible what he's been doing all season.
Right.
So, I don't know. That team's a little too risky for me. Definitely taking Bubba, I think. So, you got the next one.
All right. We got Doug Gim with Sue. At -112 up against Joel Damon and Griffin. Lonto Griffin, yeah.
You know that one. Come on now.
I know. Just there's too many players for me to keep up with.
It's so weird not having first names right here.
Both are -112.
I know I'm taking.
Damon's coming off a win.
Lanto's having a good season.
Lanto's playing good.
Gim's also playing good, and so is Sue. or so, whatever you want to call him.
I'm going to go with Damon and Lanto.
Agreeing with you. Joel Damon's a very strange man. I've made that very clear before. But I think they're both playing very well right now, and I don't think the other two guys are going to be able to keep up. I can see there are two guys missing the cut, to be honest.
Yeah, I could too.
All right, next up, probably the biggest match of the week. Ryan Palmer and John Rahm, the former champions, versus Xander Schauffele and Cantlay. I think we're both going to agree on this one. Judging by your face, I don't know if we are. I'm taking Ryan and Palmer and Rahm.
Oh, yeah. I am too.
Oh, that was just your face then.
Yeah, I was. I don't know what I was doing.
Yeah, so that's kind of an easy one. Xander's playing pretty well this season, but not well enough. Cantlay has missed the last four cuts. Cantlay, the reason he has so many injuries in his history, I feel like that's why he's probably not playing well right now. John Rahm is coming off a baby, but he still played very well in the Masters. He made a good run on Sunday.
Yep.
Ryan Palmer is having an overall good season. He also played decently well in the Masters, but Ryan Palmer also said his goal this year was to make the Ryder Cup. Plus Rahm and Palmer won this event together last year.
Mm-hmm.
And this would obviously be a really good showcase if Palmer could win again, or just, they could play well here for him to get on the Ryder Cup. I definitely think they're going to play well. I could see a top 10 out of them.
Yep.
Simple.
For
enough.
Everything you just said.
Yes. Big news guy over here. All right. Last one. You got it.
Lucas Glover and Chez Reavie at plus 112 up against Scott Brown and Kevin Kisner at minus 142.
No, this is actually kind of an interesting one. I feel like Kisner kind of thrives in these kind of things.
Yeah, he does.
But Lucas Glover and Chez Reavie are not having the worst season. But on that note, I'm going to roll with Kisner.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
They really just thrive. Kisner thrives in the
weird weeks.
Yeah.
Like, you never really hear that much about him unless it's match play or this team event. Yeah.
He likes coming out and looking the guy in the eyes and, I'm going to beat you today.
Yeah.
And if that's a regular event, he can't do that, apparently. He can go top 20. But
yeah. But, I mean, he's got he finished second here with Scott Brown in 2017. He finished tied fifth with Cameron Tringali in 2019. So, I mean, dude just loves these weird weeks.
No, I agree with you. So that's four disagreements. We were disagreeing on a lot of them early on. But so rolling back to the disagreement we talked about earlier, we talked about Billy Horschel and Sam Burns versus Chris Kirk and Brendan Todd. I'm still a little nervous on that one. But I need the matchups this week. I'm down what? I'm down seven. So yeah. Only even if we didn't do this one, I only had three. I won all three. That's 3-0. So I got to win four next week. That's not gonna happen.
I could.
I'm gonna roll the dice here.
You gonna stick with Kirk and Todd?
I'm gonna go with Kirk and Todd. I'm legitimately regretting that. I think Horschel and Burns are going to play much better. With that, yeah. Oh, my God. I don't know. That's really hard. Chris Kirk is playing fantastic. Brendan Todd's a veteran. He's making cuts. Sam Burns is a youngin', and he finally made a cut, so he's clearly doing something right again. Yeah, I'm taking Burns.
You're switching?
I can't not. Like, Kirk's playing really well this season. Don't get me wrong. But Burns, I hate to say it, I hate using that word, but he choked at the Genesis. He did. And then he missed three cuts in a row after that. But now he just made a cut finally.
Yeah.
And it was on Bermuda Tiff Eagle. Billy Horschel has two wins here. So, yeah, I could even see Burns and Horschel top 10 probably. So, on that note, we have three disagreements for this week. So, I'll sweep you. 3-0.
All right.
That's kind of bold. But all right, so that's it for matchups. We again apologize for not having a Tuesday episode. A lot of things came up, and plus betting on team events is awful for us.
Yeah, I'm gonna enjoy watching it just because I love Ryder Cups, and yeah, this is about as close as we're gonna get.
It'll be fun to watch.
But I don't know. I didn't like the odds, and I didn't like trying to make teams with
Weird.
Yeah, it was a very weird week, especially the way, you know, that I researched stats and stuff. And yeah. I feel like trying to say, you know, one guy's stats
doesn't do much justice
if his other partner's awful.
And you got like it probably takes us both around 3 or 4 hours to get some research done, then come out here and film for you all.
Yeah.
And with that one, we just kind of sat down, we started thinking about it, and it would take like 2 days for the research.
Yeah.
And we both have full-time jobs, so that's not doable at the moment. So if you guys would start listening more, then maybe we could do this full-time.
Yeah. Help us out.
Yeah. But that being said, that's it for our Wednesday wagers. Hopefully we do well this week. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at The Morning Mulligan, or check out the website, themorningmulligans.com. And leave us some reviews, 5-star reviews only. We don't accept 1-star reviews. So leave us some reviews on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anything like that. And that being said, let's have a good week, and we'll see you guys next week. Thank you.